Okay, so we're back talking about the play date. We covered week one games last time, Paul. We've got a couple of weeks worth to go over this time. First up, Krankin's time travel adventure.
Yes.
What were your thoughts on this one?
So this to me was like the headline game, wasn't it, for the play date? I think we talked a little bit previously that we kind of expected it in week one, and just because it was kind of the game that they showed off with it. But it wasn't there, so it came in week two. I'd already seen sort of a bit of footage from this. It was kind of the only play date game I'd ever seen footage of. And the mechanics seemed quite interesting from a story perspective, whereby Cranking, is it? He's sleeping in his chair. He's got a date with his love to be. He needs to get there in time. You spin the crank to moving forward in time, and you can spin it backwards in time. But a bit like kind of like Braid and things like that, there are some elements in the world that don't move in time with the time movement of your crank, so you avoid obstacles by effectively moving the character into various positions, so you can avoid those sort of hazards and meet your love. And she'll inevitably tell you off in some humorous way for being late, and you redo the day again the next day with some other consequences, etc. I was really looking forward to this, but I came across a bit of a snag, and I want to know whether you came across the same snag that I did or not.
Well, I don't know if it's the same snag, but similar to you, I was quite excited about this one. Again, for all the reasons you were talking about, it's the one they showed off most prominently early on. I suppose we both kind of deliberately avoided much more around that, but so maybe there was others later on. But I kind of felt like I instantly got it very early on. Quite simple backwards and forwards dynamic with the crank, as you say. So I guess an example puzzle would be you'd be in one of the early levels, you're running along, and I don't know if it's like a bee or a butterfly comes floating towards you, and if it collides with you, that's game over. You need to roll back slightly to let the trajectory of the insect sort of go over your head rather than directly into you, and then you can go back for keep going forward. I found it got much more complicated than that very early on, and there was one like right early on where you had to wind backwards and basically just sit there for ages and all that. And so the early puzzles I found relatively straightforward, but then very quickly got into levels where I needed a lot more coordination than seemingly I was able to produce. I don't know what was the snag that you ran into.
So I'll be honest, I think I've only booted up this game once, and I got immediately to a point, and it kind of ties in with what we were saying before. So I can't remember what day it was. It might be like day 9 or something in the game. And I think there's like a group of sheep or something, or pigs. And I thought, okay, and they rush at you from behind you. And so I thought, okay, maybe I can roll back in time and maybe just wait in the house at the start and I'll be okay. And I tried sort of turning the crank to sort of outrun the sheep. And I realized that I was really struggling to turn the crank quick enough to outrun the animals. So I did kind of like do a quick sort of search online to go, am I missing a trick, right? Am I missing something here? And all the responses were basically, you just need to turn the crank really, really fast. And I felt deeply uncomfortable turning the crank any faster than I already was. And I don't know if it's like just technique, and I suspect it might be, but I felt like I'm turning this quite fast, and the way you hold the crank on the play date is quite, it can feel quite delicate at times. And I thought the only way I can do this is probably like to turn it sideways the entire play date and not look at the screen and really, really go for it. And I was like, I don't want to do that. I just thought, I don't want to risk breaking this on like the third game that I play on the device. So I kind of thought, you know what? I'll just leave it where it is. Thank you very much.
That's interesting. Now, can I just So I remember, the one I mentioned where you had to basically go back to the house at the start and wait. I'm fairly sure that was pigs or sheep rushing at me.
What? And you think you managed to do it just by waiting in the house?
I think that definitely sounds familiar to me. And I'm just wondering whether you've read the right solution for the right... I'm sure you did. But, like, I definitely remember pigs or something from the right of the screen rushing at me, and there's definitely no time to get past it. And basically just had to wait, basically roll backwards and wait in the house for way longer than I expected.
Right.
And then it was just a clear path through.
Okay.
Now, I only got two or three levels past that one before I ran into my own obstacle that I wasn't able to get past. And I'll go into it a bit more. I haven't had nearly as much time as I would like to play some of these games, so maybe with further investigation I would have got past that one. And I do feel like I'll go back to this. But, yeah, I wonder whether... I was quite a patronising thing for me to say, are you sure you've read the right...
No, I'm definitely not sure, because I booted it up and spent 5 minutes getting, like, I'm not... Like, I felt a bit... It's weird, isn't it? I felt really annoyed that this was in the game at this point. I felt really annoyed by that. Like, I was like, why... And it was quite funny, because the comments I read was like, people were just laughing their heads off at, like, it's ridiculous and, like, you know... But it's kind of funny that they've put it in there. It makes me question whether there's two solutions, right? I mean, that's ultimately one of the things I'm thinking. But equally, you're right. I possibly have not looked at this correctly, given the amount of time that I spent on it before I got to that point of basically sod this. I'm not doing that.
Well, I've just while you've been saying that, I've just loaded up day 6 where there are pigs coming at you, and I've gone back to the house, and you have to wait out for an inordinate amount of time, but you see the pigs rushing by.
Oh, behind in the window.
That said, I mean, if there is a level coming up where the solution is, yeah, you've got to crank... I mean, your point is completely valid. There's no way I'm going to be comfortable slamming this crank as fast as possible, because it's not the most sturdy thing, or it doesn't feel as sturdy as you would like.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the point is clearly valid, because, yeah, that doesn't fill me with hope.
It could literally be two solutions, though, couldn't it? It could be the sensible solution of wait it out, right, the clever solution, or it could be that I'm really good at these sort of things and I can outrun the pig.
Yeah, maybe so, yeah.
Because it did remind me of, I've got a friend who is absurdly good at track and field on the PlayStation. I don't know if I've told you this, but quite numerous times we have, like, you know, we've booted it up with my friends and just watched him just move the buttons at, like, lightning speed, where it doesn't even look like he presses the buttons to do the left and right on the X and the circle. But that was my feeling with this, is like, do I need to be some sort of superhuman that's just nailed the technique, like, to be able to do this? And I was like, I'm not so sure. So, yeah.
What a shame.
Well, okay. That's interesting, though, because it does give me a reason to kind of boot it up and see if I can get a little bit further. What was your issue? Was it, you said it was a skill issue as well. Was it just...
Yeah, I think it was absolutely a skill issue. And it basically, I'd obviously got through the tutorial levels where it threw one specific obstacle at you, and it was combining them here, and it was just a situation where,
you gave the example of the butterfly or whatever that's kind of on a, like, a curve, isn't it? Like an up and down wave, isn't it? I'm assuming it's that mixed with another pattern, and it's just spotting the right places to be at the right point in time to be able to avoid
exactly
things.
And there is a lot of trial and error, I think, it seems, creeping in. And out of interest, I also sort of had a quick look online just in terms to try and work out how big the game is, because, again, when, you know, we spoke last time about this is a platform that can obviously, you know, there are very specific types of games that are being made, but there's scope to make really interesting short experiences and, you know, more sprawling things. It does seem like there's a ridiculous amount of levels in this. I think there are, I think, maybe 100. Maybe that's nonsense, but, like, a lot more than I was expecting.
Wow.
So yeah, I think there's a lot of content in there if we do end up persevering.
Okay.
But I think I also saw quite a few people saying, yeah, I gave up way before I got to
that kind of stage, interesting. So. I didn't expect that, I think. Yeah. I'm assuming it's fairly... Well, I don't know, because my view was I thought this would... Because obviously, I didn't expect the difficulties, but even past that, I thought, okay, maybe there'll be like 20 or so ideas and they'll just be touched upon. Do you know what I mean? Give a flight, but it sounds like maybe it's not that at all. Maybe there's going to be, from what you described as well, maybe there's going to be a lot of repetition and sort of just that side of things rather than unique things. Yeah. I did notice that myself because... Early on, it seemed to do different animations for when you sort of meet up with the girl, but it seemed to be repeating it. And I did think, okay, maybe it is not as prescriptive. Do you know what I mean? Maybe it's not as short and sweet and kind of here's one little idea and throw it out sort of game than I thought it was.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah. Okay, well, I guess that's about all we have to say with that. But maybe if we do persevere, we can revisit in a future episode. But yeah, I mean, just in terms of the general idea, again, really simple idea, quite short levels, certainly the ones we've played and what have you. And I do think it's a really nice use of it. But yeah, I think maybe more play needed to make a complete judgment on it. The second game that we opened last time we recorded to get an impression of what we thought it might be was a game called Boogie Loops. And I think we were both quite excited at the idea that this was going to be a rhythm action game. It's not that, is it?
No. It's a tracker, isn't it?
Yeah. It's an audio sequencer.
It's Fruity basically. Loops, effectively, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've spent next to no time with it because
yeah,
I don't feel like as much as I would love to be creative with music. I don't have that skill. I tried a few bits and pieces and it sounded awful. And that was pretty much it because it's one of those things where I would love the idea of something like this that could teach me to be good at that kind of thing. But from the small amount of time I spent with it, it didn't seem like that was this.
No.
I don't know whether you spent much time with it.
No, I didn't at all. No. Yeah, it was. I had exactly the same response. And it wasn't even... I've messed around with things like... there was a tracker on the Game Boy Advance that I messed around with, which was some homebrew. And that was fun because... and I don't know if the same on this because it just felt really hard to understand like what things did on this. I've been playing around, but on that one, you know, you could use the microphone to record bits and then snip and things like that. And music as well. I did play quite a bit of that on the PlayStation, if you remember. Remember that game?
Yes.
Sort of playing around with that. But they were very visual, easy to understand. Drag and drop, you know, here's a drum loop, okay, pre-made, and if you want to tweak it, here's where you can tweak it sort of thing. So yeah. I always found them quite easy and like, you know, I would do really simple stuff like, I don't know, having one beat or one melody and layering it up and then putting different instruments on it and tweaking some notes, right, and just making something that just sounded very repetitive, right, and constant, and that was kind of enough for me, you know, some real falls to the floor sort of, you know, just bush, 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 bush with, you know, a bit of twinkling piano over the top. And that was fun.
Yeah.
But this, I just felt I couldn't even understand what I was looking at a lot of the time. As these animal creatures as part of it, and I think that's a way of sort of tweaking the sound effects, etc. And I suspect the idea is that it's meant to be a little bit fun and playful and a little bit, you know, silly. But, very hard to make head or tail of, particularly when I didn't find any text or anything to explain anything about what you were doing in terms of saying.
Well, that was exactly it for me. Like I say, like I felt just immediately lost. I mean, I got the general idea, and I'm sure somebody who is au fait with that kind of thing, maybe, you know, like you who's done it before or maybe spent a bit more time with it, would have an idea of where to start. But I mean, I could obviously see what was affecting the sound and what have you, but I just like, I can't make any meaningful sense of how I would, you know, if I've got an idea in my head of the type of beat I'd like to make, except extreme trial and error, I would have no idea of where to even begin.
Yeah.
So yeah, I kind of quickly dismissed it, unfortunately.
Same here. Yeah. Shall we move on to the week three? Yeah, then?
Absolutely. Yeah. So for that reason, we said we would, as you say, you know, record, you know, not record just week two, because we, you know, there wasn't a huge amount to say about those first two. So we moved on to the week three games. And first up was a game called Lost Your Marbles. What was your experience with this one?
Yeah, Lost Your Marbles. So we talked about the Casual Birder game, and it reminded me a little bit of that in some sense. It has definite elements of quirkiness to it, shall we say, in terms of what this game is. So I've played, I don't know how far through it I am, I haven't finished it, but I've played a fair amount, and it is a narrative story. I can't remember all the plot points, but if you can sort of fill people in. But effectively, you end up with some device that makes decisions for you because you can't find the words or something along those lines. There's a world called Pomegranate Town, I think it's called, and everything seems to be very focused on balls or marbles. And what this game does is you have you lose your dog. I can't remember what the dog's called. In the town, and you need to try and get him to come home. And you talk to all these different colourful characters in the town, and they tell you, what about this? Or what do you think? There was the one I was doing the other night was three balls for the shop window. One of them's a food ball, and one of them's a nature ball. And I can't remember what the third one was. And it's like, what do you think should be the nature ball? And then at that point, you move to a ball rolling game. I don't know, I don't know what it is. It's almost like a tilty marble sort of game, right?
Where you're sort of
tilting the play field, I suppose, around, and the ball sort of moves in a physics-y sort of way. And within these objects, which are normally, the objects are normally tied to whatever maybe is happening in the story, right? It's got some sort of visualization of the conversation you're having or the person you're having the conversation with, and within there there'll be like three like circular crystal objects, and depending which of those three objects you break, that's the answer to the question. And and each answer to the question is either something that's kind of really obviously should be the right answer, something that's definitely not the right answer, and you would be a bit strange in the head if you gave that answer. And maybe one in the middle, and generally speaking the strangest answer is kind of the one that's the easiest to break in most situations. So and then the storyline continues as you do that. It's an odd game, but I quite like it.
So like I say, I've had, a much, much busier week than I would have liked since we decided we were going to crack on with these. So I haven't got as far as I would like. But I was definitely going to make the comparison with Casual Birder, as you mentioned. The writing in it is, again, for me, with Casual Birder, I know you got on with it better than I did. Mm. A little too self-consciously wacky for my normal tastes. Mm-hmm. And certainly early on in the game as well, there was a lot of dialogue in between these marble rolling games, as you mentioned. Like, they would be quite simple to start with. They do obviously get more complicated as you go on, and they're a bit more involved in terms of, as you say, if there's a specific answer you want to try and get, then there is some nuance to that, and you do need to sort of display some skill to do that. But yeah, early on, I felt like there's a disproportionate amount of kind of clicking through this dialogue before you get to the marble runs, but yeah, again, I'm not as deep into it as I would like, but those didn't get as involved as I perhaps would have liked. I don't know what it's like a bit further in, but basically it advises you to just use the bottom half of the crank, if you like, so you're not cranking all the way around, are you? It's kind of relatively subtle movements on the crank to nudge it left or right as you're trying to guide it through these mazes. But yeah, it it didn't immediately grab me, I have to say. It's something I will definitely carry on with, because I'm intrigued where they're going with it. Because you kind of got this overland map, as you said, of the town. It's almost like Mario going between the different areas as you kind of progress the story. But yeah, I don't know, the marble stuff, from the ones I've played, it was relatively simple and straightforward. I just kind of felt like, I don't know whether this is really adding a huge amount to it. Do you know what I mean? You know, we talked
about,
obviously some of the devs feel like they have to use the crank, right? That's the distinguishing feature of this machine. The crank is there, right? We've got to use this crank in an interesting way.
Yeah.
And clearly they've set out to do that. And for me, from the small amount I have played so far, it didn't feel like it was adding a huge amount. But hopefully, if I carry on with it, well, I definitely will carry on with it, but hopefully it will start to click a bit more for me, because it sounds like you've had a decent time with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to sound strange. I don't understand the point of it yet. And I don't know if there will be one, because inherently you go through the dialogue and you're giving answers that don't make sense, but that doesn't seem to affect anything. And I wonder if there's a payoff, exactly. Or if there's something at the end that's going to, do you know what I mean? That'll be like, okay. And actually I will, you know, if you play, you know, I don't know. It doesn't feel like I'm making wrong decisions or doing badly per se by giving obviously incoherent answers to these things because of my lack of skill in some of these what is effectively mini games, right? So I don't know. I'm very, I suppose when I say I like it, I've enjoyed it, but I don't know if I do want a point at the. I don't know. I think I need to see it through. I think that's the point. And I'm hoping there is maybe something, but do I care if there is? I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I do want something. I do agree with you about. I think this one is. For me, I think this is wackier than Casual Birder. I think the writing is definitely more. Not quite to my taste, shall we say. I think it's definitely that. And I think the characterizations were not as strong as in Casual Bed. I felt the characters were really well written in that to a certain degree, in a very shorthand sort of way. In this, it still feels like it's narrative, little mini game, narrative, move on. And I don't feel like I'm understanding the world or the people or the point or anything like that right at the moment. And I don't mind that. It's not an issue per se, but I suppose I'm just intrigued to whether I'm going to, it might be that I finish this and go, okay, that wasn't really the best thing in the world sort of thing. But equally I might go, okay, I can see what you were trying to achieve. I suppose that's where I'm at the moment. I'm not, I don't know if this is a fully formed experience or not. I just still feel like I'm in it, and it might get there or it might not. What I will say is, it does feel like an absolute smashing together of two very different things in a very incoherent way. That's where the charm is a little bit for me, is that you've got something that's clearly a narrative story mixed with a game mode that doesn't belong there at all in the slightest. There's something slightly endearing about that to me. But yeah, that's where I'm at the moment, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can see that for sure. I mean, I am interested to know how much of an effect those choices are having in the game. Like, is it just literally the next line of dialogue is affected by which of the balls you crack, or whether does that actually have any bearing on what comes beyond? I can't imagine that it does, but some further exploration needed for sure, I think, with that one. I'm definitely going to play some more. It sounds like you will, so perhaps we'll revisit that one a bit further.
I'm definitely going to continue with it. I mean, the other thing is, there is no, I suppose there's no challenge in a sense, is there really?
No.
The game...
No, there doesn't seem to be a fail state, certainly from what
correct. I've played. Correct. So, and it's no time limits or anything like that. So from that perspective, it's going to be quite easy just to kind of play through and finish and see what the full experience is. So, you know...
Absolutely.
Unlike the other game, which we may never get to the end of what those 100 levels, this is something I will definitely sort of finish. And maybe we'll have more complete thoughts on it, but it's not something that, you know... equally, I would say that the marble stuff is merely okay in terms of how it feels. I didn't feel a bit like we've said about other experiences. The crank, it's neat, but is it great? Is it like, do you know what I mean? Does it nail that feel of something? Does it feel satisfying? It doesn't have that level of satisfying sort of feeling to it, is my view. It's merely just okay. So, you know, I don't know. It's very middling, shall we say, at this point. But I'm still intrigued.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll come back to that one then. So the fourth and final one for this episode then is a game called Pick, Pack, Pop. So this bucks the trend in terms of what we were talking about in terms of using the crank for the sake of it in terms of the general gameplay. This is essentially a match three puzzle game. Mm-hmm. So immediately more up my alley than some others might be. As we've established in previous episodes, I'm quite into puzzle games and things like that. The crank is used for the small like narrative pieces in between the levels and what have you in the story mode. But actual gameplay is with the D-pad and the A button, essentially, to move different items around the screen. You're basically playing as a dog who is essentially an Amazon warehouse worker, right? Packing three items together. Once they get matched, they form like boxes, essentially. And you can form numerous boxes on the screen at the same time. And when you click one to shift off the screen, they all go at the same time, the ones you've established. And that then cascades the items you haven't yet used down the screen, and in classic style, the screen gets filled up with new items and what have you. Again, I've not played as much as I would like, but, I mean, for me, I've played a bunch of Match 3 games. Some are great, some are middling, and some are dreadful. I like this one. I like the fact that there are different elements to each of the levels. So it's not just you've got a time limit. You need to do as many of these as you can in the time, and it's a pass or fail. So some levels it might say, right, we just want bananas or apples. Mm-hmm. And although you will match other stuff as you go and kind of impede progress to get to the apples or bananas by doing that, it's only those fruits that count in that specific level. Or on another level, it might say, okay, well, every 20 seconds, we're going to completely trash the bottom row, anything you haven't matched. And if you don't do it in the time limit, then that's all gone and you get a penalty for that. And there are these different rules it introduces each time. Again, I've only maybe played 10 levels of this so far, so I don't know whether there's any kind of repetition of that. But everything I've played so far has been a relatively new idea every time it introduces a new level. So what I would basically say, it's nothing. It's a spin on a match three game. It's trying something slightly different. But I guess if the idea of a match three game immediately puts you off, there's probably not enough there that I've seen so far that's going to say, right, well, this is going to change your mind. I don't know what your experience is.
I think you've summed it up. I think match three games are not my favorite puzzler, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
I think high oversaturation of that style.
Absolutely.
But it did feel different. I don't know if there were any others that do the mechanic of keeping objects on screen and all clear like this one does. I can't think of any. I might be wrong, but it felt a bit unique, that, to me. I've played a lot of this. I don't know if I've played further than you. I've played, my latest challenge was making T-shaped packages.
Oh yeah, I haven't got to that.
Okay, so I played a little bit further. Nothing's repeated in terms of challenges so far, but there were a couple of new quirks sort of halfway through in terms of new mechanics. and different ways of thinking about the space. It's felt really good. It's pretty addictive. Your minimal crank use, I don't personally think that's an issue, if I'm really honest. It's got a really nice graphical style, this. Very easy to read, very easy to see what you're doing. I think the pup character's pretty neat. And the dialogue in between of, you know, basically work yourself in harder to the ground, meet new quotas that are even higher than before, sort of thing. I'm sure that's been in a game before like this. I'm trying to think of another puzzle game that does that, which gives you more and more sort of difficult levels of trying to please the boss, but I cannot pinpoint what it is. But I like all of that sort of narrative wraparound for this. I've enjoyed this. I'm definitely finishing this. I'm definitely going to get through all the levels. But yeah, it feels nice. Just in general, I think much unlike the other the previous game we saw, talked about, Lost Your Marbles, this just inherently feels satisfying to play. It's got a level of polish to it. It animates well. It moves well. It's quick, I think, and responsive. All those things you would expect from sort of a match three, but it's a really solid one, I think, and I quite like that it's not just this. I didn't feel immediately like it was something that I'd played before. There was enough, although it's slight, it was enough for me to think, okay, I can get into this, and this is not just something that I've played a million times before. I think also the play screen helps with that. You don't get a lot of objects on the screen, so it really feels really tailor-made for the handheld in terms of that. I think there's only like maybe 15 or so objects on screen at once. I like this one. Shout out as well to the music. I thought, and in fact, both of these games have really neat music in general, but really, really nice. I think I said that last time, but I am impressed by the sound that comes out of this device for sure.
I'm exactly the same. Just to make that point, definitely on almost all of the games so far, there's been an element of the music I've really enjoyed. And we spoke, like you say, it's obviously a very small machine. What is the sound quality going to be like? But it's decent. And this is like I say, I think like you mentioned there, you kind of get an idea of what this game might be as soon as you turn it on. And it's kind of pleasantly surprised me with its kind of quirks and building on the central core idea each time with these different kind of new ideas it brings it to each level.
Yeah, I think what it reminds me of a little bit is Papers, Please, I suppose, but not quite that. But you know, where you have sort of the idea where you need to do this thing and you need to meet these quotas and it gets more and more difficult. It's got a bit of that without the sort of the peril of that, obviously, in the same way.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it has that sort of feel to it in terms of trying to do. And it'd be interesting, again, I just like the wraparound. It's neat, and it does it in quite a light-hearted way. But it's good. In a way that I think out of all the games we played so far, they all feel, everything has felt kind of one and done to a certain degree, whereas this has felt a little bit more than that. This feels like something definitely that I could play a lot of. Does that make sense? I think a lot of the experiences so far have been either slight or not quite right or quite short in general. But this one feels a bit more, I don't know, just feels meatier to me and a bit more substantial in a lot of ways.
Yeah, no, same here. I'm really impressed with it, with what could have been on first impression, you know, just a simple match three, and that, like you say, that would not have been what you've just described. It's not something you're going to come back to again and again, but I will definitely see this through. And there are other modes. I've not explored anything other than the story mode, there's like a infinity mode and all sorts on there. It looks like it's quite feature packed. So, pretty impressed with that one, to be honest, so far. So those are the four. We've got four games to open.
I know.
As well.
I can't believe it. Can you? I am really shocked that we're already so far in.
I know. It's ridiculous. But quite excited. And I mean, again, there's no guarantee we're going to be able to work out what these are from name alone, as has been proven with Boogie Loops. But Yeah, do you want to do the honours on the first one?
Yeah, are we going top from top to bottom, shall we?
Well, those...
Are the bottom ones the newer ones? Older ones?
I think the bottom ones are the older ones. Okay. So I think they're going in release order from bottom to top, aren't they?
Okay, I will do the one that's got, like, lined, coloured gradient ones with, like, looks like a night sky. Yeah? Above
pink. Oh, okay, so they're in a different order for me. Okay, yeah, go for it. Go on, I'll open that one at the same time.
I've got two that have got the same packaging, though.
Oh, really? Oh, interesting. Oh, so have I. Perhaps it's random, then.
Maybe it's random. Well, I'm doing the one above Pick, Pack, Pop, so let's do that, and then I'll say what it is, and we'll see if it's the same. It might just be random, mightn't it?
Yeah, maybe so.
Flipper Lifter.
Mine's just still opening, sorry. No, mine is called something else.
This is great, isn't it?
So, mine is called...
Go on.
Demon Quest 85, which is intriguing. There is a knight with a shield and sword with, as you would expect from the title, a huge demon towering over him. So that looks like it might be RPG-ish in nature.
Could be a dungeon crawler. Mine is Flipper Lifter, and it's a penguin that seems to have quite a long beak, and he's looking pretty pleased with himself.
See, from name alone, I was thinking, oh, is Flipper, is it like some kind of pinball situation? But maybe not. Maybe we're looking at a platformer or...
A platformer or a puzzler or something, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me open this one and see if it's... No, it's a different game. So mine is called... I cannot even pronounce it. Iconic? It's the word echo with IC at the end. That's not a word, is it?
Echoic, no.
Echoic memory. And it's got a bit of an 80s sort of like shadow. Like, do you know, like almost like a title card, beamed in sort. Do you know where it's like from a TV where it's, do you know where it's kind of, it's got that to it. I can't even tell what this, I don't know. There's so little to go on. I can't figure it out.
Wow. Okay, so you say little to go on. I'll tell you what I've got for the fourth one. There is no text on this one. There is an eyeball looking around. And that is all... That's all I have to go on for the fourth game. A huge eye in the centre of the artwork, and the pupil is darting around.
Let's looking open at the other games and see. Okay, yeah. Demon Quest definitely looks RPG-ish. I would agree.
Yeah.
And that eyeball is pretty creepy. I'll let you open.
I've just gone into the settings. Apparently, that game is called Omaze.
Puzzle game, surely.
I would imagine so. But yeah. There you go. Four quite eclectic games then, by the looks of it.
Do you have an immediate favourite from the names? And see if you like it when we talk about them next time. See if those expectations were shattered.
Yeah. I mean, Demon Quest sounds intriguing to me. That sounds very different to anything we've played so far on this. So... Demon Quest 85, I guess, I'll go with.
Same. I think Demon Quest 85 is the interesting one, and whether it's a dungeon crawler or if it's something more... It could be like a tabletop, like, multiplayer, where you pass it around. Yeah. It could be something completely different, so... Let's see. Yeah. But that one, yeah, for sure. The 85 bit makes me think it's going to be something fairly old school in terms of its setup. Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. All right. Well, we'll be back shortly to talk about those four and then open another two or four in a week or two's time. But until then, this has been Play Catch Up, and we'll speak to you soon.
Bye.